Nintendo Dad's After Dark, episode 7. Is it really episode 7?
It really it is.
That's awesome.
This is a
podcast in a galaxy far, far away. Three nerds sit around a desk, a virtual roundtable of Skype, and discuss how the Empire has returned and the Jedi are lost.
Oh, I have to say this. Okay, this, of course, is Nintendo Dad's After Dark, episode 7. This is our Force Awakens discussion review thing. We were just saying before we started recording, none of us has talked to each other about this movie at all.
No.
Which is crazy. That's something that we usually would talk about, and we just haven't, because
we were saving it for tonight.
Yeah, that's just save yourself. Like, yeah.
You weren't, actually, but
no, we
just happened to work that way.
And like with Christmas and everything, it's been crazy, but let's start. First of all, I'm Zach Erickson, by the way. That's Justin Masson.
Hi-yo.
It's a drop.
And Jesse Waldack.
Yeah, still him.
Yeah, still him.
Still me.
Yep. Right on. So
what's wrong with this one?
So, and I mean, what, do I talk first? Do you talk first?
One of us should talk first, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
do we have a structure for this? Or
do you get that reference?
You just smashed it right through, buddy. Let's call back to episode 58 of Nintendo Dads. Check it out.
Yeah.
Except for this one went over my head versus the other way around.
That's okay.
No, I was referencing Poe Dameron as he's talking to Kylo Ren. Right? He's like, at the beginning of the movie, do I talk first? You talk first?
Right, got it. Yeah.
I can't hear you through that mask. It's so hard.
Anyways, so.
At least it's not Bane.
So, yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, before we start, let's talk about our movie going experience. How many times, Justin, you asked right before, how many times has each of us seen it? I have seen it once. I saw it on Saturday afternoon. I went with my son. We bought the sweet 3D glasses. The Kylo Ren and Stormtrooper glasses. And so we went once, 3D. We didn't go to IMAX, although we could have. We just didn't. But yeah, saw it once, and it was the only reason we got tickets was because they also had IMAX there, and so we were able to get 3D tickets because of that. So, oh, by the way, this thing...
Making droid noises.
Yeah, making droid noises.
Zach's holding up a BB-8 remote control droid that he got for Christmas.
Yeah, I totally got the Sphero one. I don't know if I can... this thing's ridiculous, by the way. Oh, so good. Anyways.
That's fantastic.
So that is my... That was pretty much like all I got for Christmas. It was just so fun, though. It's... a really, really fun toy to play with every day. So that is, I saw it once. And what about you, Justin? How many times have you seen it?
I saw it once. I saw an opening night in Lethbridge. I had tickets to the 10:15 show. Had to basically show up at the theater at 8:30 p.m. and stand in line for like an hour and a bit before getting seated. The theater was packed. People were dressed up in Star Wars gear. Yeah, there's just so much energy around it. It was great.
The one thing that I have grown to really appreciate since coming up here is at the movie theater at West Edmonton Mall, they have the, when you buy the ticket, you choose which seat you get.
Mm-hmm.
So my son and I rolled in less than an hour before. We had our tickets, it was awesome. By the way, if they're ever going to release a movie this big again, they should not do it the weekend before Christmas, because getting a parking spot at the mall on like a Saturday afternoon before Christmas, it was bad. But yeah, so same thing here. Like there wasn't any dress up going on. It was like a Saturday afternoon, but man, the cheering that was going on, like when Han Solo's first on screen and like all that kind of stuff, cheers every time, right? It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, how about you? How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it twice. The first one was the Thursday night at an 8:00 showing. And I figured we'd be safe to get there about an hour early, and I was kind of mistaken. We ended up getting there 45 minutes early, and we were stuck with second to front row. So we watched.
You were like laying in back.
We were like that. So leaning back. So that we saw that in 3D. And then, because that one was not assigned seats then, but we also then, I had tickets for Sunday afternoon. It was the entire family and my brother-in-law and his fiance. So like seven of us in a row. And then we also had tickets for Sunday afternoon without the kids. It was just me and my wife and then another couple that we like to, that goes to we saw the Avengers with them and, you know, that type of thing. You know, like sci-fi movies, they like to go with us for that. So there we did have assigned seating for a non-3D showing. That was, we had tickets second to the last row. So it was good seats. And the second to the front row wasn't so bad either.
Nice.
Once you get used to it.
once your brain has kind of adjusted to the skewed angle that you're sitting at.
But that 3D, though, when they showed like a wide angle of one of the giant ships, it felt like you could just touch it.
Yeah. Yes. Man, right on. So I like kind of played the music at the beginning, like I played some of this other music, I realized again how much I loved this movie. I don't know, like, what your guys' expectations were. I was pretty like reserved, like, yeah, it'll be pretty good. Like, I'm, you know, it'll be a Star Wars movie. I grew up, I was born in 85. And so all of the movies were already out by the time I was, you know, by the time I was in kindergarten. In fact, my first memory of Star Wars, this is
the first three movies are out before you were born.
Right. My first memory of Star Wars, anything Star Wars related, was kindergarten. And on the day that we learned the letter R, it was R2-D2. And we got to color a picture of R2-D2. And I was like, I don't know who R2-D2 is. And my kindergarten teacher was appalled. And that was how I was introduced to Star Wars.
So this would have been 1990?
That would have been in the 1990, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I feel old now because that's my sophomore year of high school.
Nice. Yeah. So that was my introduction to Star Wars, and my only memories of going to the movies was obviously the prequels. You know, like I went opening day for Star Wars Episode One. I had a friend who was really into it, and I was like, Star Wars, whatever, sure. But I'm kind of a latecomer to Star Wars. Like the prequels were kind of, I mean, like I don't think we need to talk too much about the prequels, but like they were kind of, you know, they were a bunch of fluff and the story wasn't very good. If you haven't watched the Red Letter Media reviews of the Star Wars prequels, I don't know if either of you have watched those.
No.
They're like his review of Episode One is just as long as the actual movie, and it is scathing. It is brutal. Also not for the kids, by the way. He makes lots of ridiculous sort of, if you can get past the tasteless humor in it, it's a pretty good review actually. Of it really describes how badly they dropped the ball. But anyways, it's a very, so those were the prequels and I was kind of whatever, but I really have always seen the potential, but was never really moved by Star Wars that much, if that makes sense. Yeah. But going into this, man, it just like they just hit home with all of the different things that they were doing. Really cared about the characters.
Before, let's stop right there. For those of you that are listening to this and you have not seen Star Wars, this is a spoiler episode. We will talk openly and freely, with Reese's Pieces in our mouth, freely about Star Wars Episode 7. So if you have not seen it, do not send me angry emails that we ruined something for you, all right? So I'm going to give you a second to pause, stop, whatever you need to do.
One, by the way,
two, three. We are now spoiler free. You have been warned.
Yep.
Anyway, the movie's been out for 3 weeks. The third weekend. If you haven't seen it by now,
what are you doing? I don't want to be the guy who gets that email.
Pause this show and go to the movie.
I don't want to be the guy who gets the email.
You're really afraid of that.
It's just not cool, guys.
Yeah.
It's just not cool.
So Justin, how are you feeling about this movie overall?
I went in with low expectations. Because Eric, I have been through the prequels.
Eric Plunk has seen it twice.
Yep. I have been through the prequels, so I went in with low expectations. I am so happy with it. Like, from the moment the, you know, Lucasfilms industry or whatever shows up as a production company, I started like, it's happening.
Did you know what the opening thing there, were you like, wait a minute, you were like, wait a minute, what? Like, there was no, I mean, we knew that the Fox fanfare wasn't going to be there, but it was like silent, right? Like, I was like, there was almost like no transition between the trailers and the movie when I saw it, and I was like, wait, are we actually watching the movie now?
Yeah. And like, everyone cheered when it came up in the crawl. And I mean, you're just reading it. And I don't think I blinked. My general, like, quick snaps. This is the funniest Star Wars ever.
Yeah.
This was the best Star Wars for basically level setting the entire franchise. It did a great job of playing on nostalgia and pulling you in with nostalgia, but also establishing characters that you genuinely care about, who are new, that need to carry this franchise going forward, and is based and rooted in a world that feels familiar and comfortable, like a warm blanket that you have put on. J.J. Abrams and his entire team, his entire crew, everyone, you can, like, kudos and my hat's off to you, because I think that, and yes, there are some trepidations and people say, like, oh, it's basically A New Hope remastered or remixed. Yeah, it is. But guess what? That's okay.
That's what it needed to be.
And that's what it needed to be. And that's what I think we as Star Wars fans want. Now, it's not shot for shot remix. But here's the thing, though. It gets the franchise back to a place that now it can be okay to be different, right? It needed to both feel that familiarity and that comfort. Like, Star Wars fans don't want something too out of place. If we did, we would have loved the first three movies.
Yeah.
But we didn't, right?
Prequels, right?
Yeah, the prequels. We want special effects that are not CG, but rather practical special effects, right? We want characters that feel familiar and real. And we don't care about goddamn trade negotiations, right? Like, we just want to get into it.
Well, and they had
that's exactly what this movie did.
I feel like this movie in particular could have used, we don't need trade route BS like Phantom Menace, but I felt like they could have spent a 30-second piece of dialogue somewhere where it's like explaining what the, like, I didn't understand the difference between the Republic and the Resistance and, you know, like
the First Order,
like, who is the First Order? Like, if there's a Republic, then why is there a Resistance? Like, what are they resisting if the Republic is the one that's in, or, you know, like, there was a few things like that where I was like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. And like, when they blow up the planet, like, what did they blow up? I think they said that was basically the Senate or the Republic or something, but they didn't really spell that out enough for me to be confident in that. So I was more confused when that happened.
A little bit more expedition or, expedition,
what's the word? Expedition? Yeah, there's a word there.
Exhibition? No. Nope.
Exhibition? No.
Nope. A little more explanation?
Explanation.
Dialogue. I think dialogue would have been great for that.
Yeah, they just needed a little bit more information there about what was
exposition?
Going on.
Exposition,
that's the word.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And so I think that is, yeah, it could have used a little bit more exposition there. Just because I didn't know what was going on, right? Like, there I was like, "Oh, okay." Like, and I've listened to a couple different reviews, you know, leading up to this, and I think what they wanted to do was strike the balance between Phantom Menace, trade routes, all this boring Senate stuff, and the moment in A New Hope where it's just like, oh, well, the Emperor has dissolved the Republic and the Senate, you know, and it told you all that they needed to know in that moment on the Death Star, where you weren't asking questions. But in The Force Awakens, there were a couple of times where I was like, I wish I knew more about what was going on. And again, maybe they'll spell it out more. I hope they don't spell it out too much, but just enough to know what's going on. But yeah, so I really, really liked it, though. I don't even know where to start. I think part of what I liked so much about it, too, is, again, like you said, the new characters. I loved Kylo Ren in this movie.
Yes.
Like, to the point where I feel like, and I'm not going to say this, but I'm tempted to like him more than Darth Vader. he's definitely more relatable than Darth Vader is, right? Like, as far as that sort of, it's like the opposite of the hero's journey almost, where, you know, it's not just that Luke Skywalker in the original trilogy, you watch him become this powerful Jedi. It's like we're witnessing that for the dark side with Kylo Ren. It's what we wanted the prequels to be with Anakin Skywalker becoming Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing that with Kylo Ren. And when you first are introduced to him, you're like, oh my gosh, this person is terrifying. And then he takes off his helmet and you're like, wait a minute, he's just a bratty spaz kid who is mm-hmm. overcompensating. And that is way more interesting and cool. I loved it.
When he first took his helmet off, my wife's first response was, put it back on.
Yeah, right.
He is not a pretty boy.
Yeah, he's not a pretty boy. And he's like, he's just his weasel, right? And the first time you see him freak out and destroy those computers, you're like, oh my gosh, that is terrifying. But the second time he does it, you're like, you freaking spaz. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, this dude's got a temper.
And
I like the stormtrooper's reaction to it.
Yeah, they turn around and go the other way.
Nope, I'm not going there.
He is an unhinged brat of a character, and that's why. Like, that's a thing. For as steely and emotionally cold that Darth Vader is, or was, Kylo Ren is the opposite. He is fuming with emotion.
He's a wannabe. Right?
He's a wannabe, but he's fuming with emotion, and that comes through.
Right.
Right. He is not controlled by any way. He isn't able to control the dark side. It controls him emotionally, and he becomes this infuriated, unhinged character, which I think is fantastic to watch.
Yeah.
And you can see, and the comparison between him and Vader, you can see, because Vader is pretty much, you know, Anakin has been through two masters and been fully trained twice.
Mm-hmm.
And this other kid has gone through two masters and hasn't been fully trained either time. Yeah,
he flunked out the first time when he went to the dark side. And right. now he's like in the middle of his training. And it's almost like even with Snoke, which, I mean, we don't see a lot of him, but it's almost like with Snoke, you almost get this sense that he's like kind of like this neglectful master, like, whatever, do whatever you want, Kylo Ren, I don't care.
It looks like he's gonna get more hands-on next episode.
Yeah, right. And so, like, I think it's interesting to have him as a counterpoint to Rey, who we'll get to in a minute, as the kind of watch them both go through their journey at the same time, and have them both growing into the master that they will become, presumably. Having the light side and the dark side version of both of those is really cool. So he was coming out of the movie. He was my favorite character, was Kylo Ren. And I mean, the moment on the catwalk, right? Like,
yeah,
was pretty brutal. And it was more of it. The moment, it wasn't even necessarily, because as soon as he walked out there, I was like, oh, there he goes.
He ain't coming back.
But, it was Chewie's scream that I was like, oh, you know, so he like gets skewered by the lightsaber, spoiler alert, and then falls down the catwalk into the pit. And Chewie's scream was like, oh, man, in six movies, you have not seen him freak out like that.
Yeah.
Right. And it was, right. It just hit so hard. You were like, oh, man, that is intense. And well, it'll be interesting to see Chewie in the next movie. I think it'll be an interesting, like, Chewie and Rey as a duo will be really cool.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I didn't even think of the Chewie and Rey part, actually. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. The moment he walked out and onto that edge, you're like, yep, you ain't coming back.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's, you know, oh, you're on a large catwalk with no safety rails above a reactor.
Yeah,
someone's not coming back. And yep.
What can go wrong?
Yeah, that is like Star Wars talk for you're going down there.
Yeah,
somebody's going to fall down this pit.
I also love that moment when he turns to him and he yells, Ben.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, you know, strip away the shield that is the dark side and this mask and Ben, right? Like, not only the call it to Ben Kenobi or Uncle Ben, right? Like, it's straight down to this, like, you were a child at one point, right? You've been called your name. And I think that's that humanizes him, right? And when he comes out and they're staying so intimately close together and talking about the struggle that he's having.
Oh, that's right? I mean, that
feels real. And then the only thing missing
the only thing missing was him yelling out a middle name.
Yeah.
Benjamin K.
Kenobi.
Solo. Yeah, Solo or whatever. Well, and just that moment of him sitting there, because the whole trope of, man, I'm fighting the dark side and I need to choose the right decision here and become the wonderful person that I need to be, that's been played in Star Wars and so many other things so many times. But to see him struggling to fight against the light was something else entirely. And I thought that was really, really, that hit really hard. I really liked that. Yeah.
And then she hearing that the speech he gave to Han before he killed him.
Yeah, it's like, will you help me? Right.
It has a completely different meaning the second time that you hear it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I see what he's really saying.
Yeah. Will you please help me kill you?
Right? Yes. Yeah.
Which is like, oh, wow. That is so crazy. So, so that's
kind of like a side here about that scene. My son was playing Call of Duty with, he was in a party with some friends. And whenever random people would join the group to, in the matchmaking, someone on the call would say, Han Solo dies by his son. And he would do this three or four times. And one of the times, this what sounded like an 8-year-old just started crying and dropped the call.
No.
Like, oh, that's kind of awesome and horrible at the same time.
That's terrible. So that's Kylo Ren. He was, again, he was my favorite. Other characters, I mean, the movie starts off with Poe Dameron, who I was not that excited about. They didn't really say anything about him in the opening parts of the pre stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really in any of the.
Speaking of that section, this is like the biggest mystery I have. So I have from after seeing this movie twice, the old man that gives Poe the part of the map. The movie is making it sound like we should know who the hell he is, but I don't know who he is.
I don't think we're supposed to.
Was he part of the prequels? Was he part of the first trilogy?
No, I think he was. Maybe we'll learn more about him in the next ones. Maybe, maybe not. But he seemed to have some connection to, like, maybe he was part of the rebellion back in the day, or he knew Luke somehow because he's the one who had the piece of the map, right? Or like the plants of the Death Star or whatever in this movie, right? It's basically the same thing.
Wrong movie. Yeah, the piece of the map that shows the location of Luke.
Right, yeah. So he knew he had that information. And so that's, that's interesting. I'm not sure. We don't really know who he was, though, other than that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. But the movie made it seemed like we assumed we knew who that was.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I'm not entirely sure, but Poe Dameron, man, like him and Finn together, like the scene where they're breaking out of the destroyer, the Star Destroyer, and getting back to Jakku, man, that was a great scene. Like those two instantly had a connection where you're like, man, these two already have a relationship that I'm looking forward to seeing in the next movie.
Right.
And even though we don't see it a lot, it was a little bit like, wait, where'd he go? And then he just showed up again. And I'm like, okay, that's a plot hole there, but I really liked his character. That, and I think that is the thing that happened a few times in this movie where I really, really love the characters. In fact, I love the characters so much that I was willing to overlook plot holes because this movie was not about the story, right? Like the story was basically the A New Hope. It was enough to tell us anything that was going on in the story was to inform our understanding of the characters. And I heard, who was it? I think it was on the morning stream. They were talking about this movie, and this feels a lot like J.J. Abrams' Star Trek 2009 movie.
Yeah.
Like he basically did what he did in Star Trek 2009 in in this, like he did the same thing to Star Wars. He was a great person to be doing episode 7. I'm glad he's not doing episode 8.
Correct.
Right? Because the last thing we need is him to do, like, what was it, Into Darkness, where he basically said, oh, well, let's now take the second Star Trek movie and make that one again. Right? Like, yeah. I want something totally new moving forward with these characters that have now been established in this movie.
Yeah, again, he has really set the ship straight for the next couple of directors now.
Yeah.
However, I mean, you know, I think the challenge is, as I was listening to a couple other shows, is that like the next movie is the equivalent of Empire. Yeah. Right. Well, Empire is like that's the second act of a third act, which is always the most biggest act, right? The most depth, the biggest arc in the story is where, you know, those things. So that's, you know, the next person is going to have a lot of weight.
I do not envy that.
And apparently the director is the same guy who did Looper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know the name. I think his name's Justin or something. I don't remember the last name.
Ryan Johnston, I think.
Ryan Johnston. Okay. It was, so I think that, there's a lot of weight on that for sure. I love the new characters. Yeah. I thought Poe was great. I thought Finn was great and funny. Right, I love the play between him and Rey. I love that Rey is not your damsel in distress, but rather the kicking ass, and really the reversing of it. At most times, Finn is the one in the damsel in distress kind of playing that role, so to say.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, but it was Ryan Johnson, not Johnson.
Ryan Johnson, but not really playing that. Like he is sort of playing that damsel in distress, but not quite. And he doesn't believe he should be, right? A lot of that, like, you know, she keeps trying to hold Ray's hand. He's like, you don't need to hold my hand. Like, I got this.
Yeah.
Right. And, so and I think those were, you know, I think those were some fantastic, moments.
And as a father of a daughter,
yes,
to have, and I said this actually in my like, reaction to Reactor Radio, the little thing, in a world where Marvel and DC are like struggling to come out with some sort of a female centered movie at some point. Star Wars has created that this trilogy of movies, the center point is a female Jedi, right?
Yeah.
Like that, I don't think that can be overstated. I think that is a really incredible, awesome move that I am excited for my daughter to be able to see these movies and to have a sort of female action character to really be excited about. I think that's amazing. I think that's so rad.
I suspect 2016 Halloween costume, Rey will be replacing Elsa and Anna for costumes.
Nice.
I think she's just tremendous. We have only begun to scratch the surface of that and that story, right? And I mean, there's so much, you know, is she, you know, where does she get her force powers from? You know, the immediate assumption is perhaps she is Luke's daughter in some context. She was dropped off on Jakku. Why was she dropped off on Jakku? Did the parents know she had force abilities, right? Was this really to hide from perhaps the Empire?
Yeah, there's speculation.
Is she related to Ben Solo, and is she Leia and Han's, you know, daughter that they don't really talk about?
She could be Luke's daughter. There's speculation there, although I don't know. I always like I've heard that speculation a lot, and I'm like, oh, aren't Jedi celibate? Like Luke doesn't seem like the type to break the Jedi code to go and whatever. I don't know, but. Anyway, I just loved she was my other favorite character in the movie. And yeah. I mean, the moment where like I have heard a lot of criticism of like her being a Mary Sue, which is not that it didn't bother me. It like, yes, it is interesting that she or it is notable, I guess, that she was awesome at everything and she never really, you know, like that sort of a thing. But then so was Anakin, right? Mm-hmm. Like Anakin was in the prequels and it's possible that she was just very force sensitive. And I guess I'm willing to give it a pass in hopes that they justify it later. Right.
Yeah.
And say, well, that no, she really is like the chosen one or something. I don't know. The new chosen one.
All right. So another thing that's kind of in the back of my mind is seeing the first six movies. I don't think I've ever seen anyone who wasn't Force sensitive attempt to use a lightsaber. So I always figured you had to be Force sensitive to use it. Otherwise you wouldn't be able to trigger it. Then we see Finn using a lightsaber. Now, is it just because anyone can use one, and just if you aren't Force sensitive, you have the risk of cutting off your own head? Or is he actually Force sensitive, and we haven't gotten there yet?
Yeah, see, like that's interesting. But he always kind of seemed to, I guess he kind of was pretty good at it a little bit, but he kind of seemed to suck at it a little too. You know what I mean? Like,
I got the sense
that he was like trying to, I'm trying to remember what it is, but like, this was never meant for him, you know, like the entire movie was like, oh, come on, Finn, why are you doing this again? Like, this lightsaber does not want to be with you. This lightsaber wants to be with Rey. And so when it flies through the air and she grabs it, and you're just like, finally,
slipping out of the snow circa Empire.
Yeah. And you're just like, yes, that is exactly like you were. Like, I was sitting there rooting for that, waiting the whole movie, wanting her to get that lightsaber. And when it finally landed in her hand, I was like, yes, that is
exactly. It's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah. You know, even speaking of like the Finn with a lightsaber, I mean, that harkens back to his battle with that stormtrooper with that like shock.
Oh, that was cool.
Baton or whatever it is, right? Like I know Captain Phasma or whatever was supposed to be the stormtrooper we wanted to learn more about, but I was like, no, I want to learn about that guy. I want to learn about that guy with the shock baton. Like, that was awesome.
Apparently I missed like the only scene that Captain Phasma was in when my son had to go to the bathroom.
Oh no.
So like when they're breaking in, he was like, Dad, I gotta go pee. I was like, are you kidding me? And so we like booked it there, and we booked it back, and then that was the only scene that Captain Phasma was in. So like literally as we were running out, she was like, they ran into her or something, and then when we got back, it was done. I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll find out about Captain Phasma some other time, because that's all we saw. Other than the initial scene too, right? Where she's like interrogating him on the ship. But
I think one of the things, you know, kind of as we're on Finn and kind of Captain Phasma and stormtroopers, that was the thing that was, I thought, very interesting about this, was the stormtroopers were no longer set dressing, but they were rather very humanized and very like, you know, people.
Well, and they even have the comment.
I felt like their story, right? Like Finn, you know, my assumption was they were all just like, I don't know. We never really get underneath the mask of the stormtrooper.
Well, they were like clones in the prequels, right? And so assume that they were still clones.
Yeah, and here we've got actual people, right? Like we have baby. They, when they're showing up the monitor of Finn, they see like a baby picture, right? And he doesn't have an actual name, but rather a designation number, right? And you know, the stormtroopers, to your point, you know, as what's the bad guy's name? Sorry,
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren is destroying those you know screens. The two troopers kind of take a 180 and turn around like nope. Well,
apparently the scene where she like suggests to him to leave too, right? Where she gets him to release him.
Drop the weapon.
Yeah, and then drop the weapon. Like, it was just a great scene.
And that was actually Daniel Craig as that stormtrooper.
I heard that, yeah. So that's funny. And like Sean Penn was the was it Sean Penn?
Simon Pegg.
Simon, Sean Penn. Wow. Simon Pegg.
That's a small difference.
It's a little late. Simon Pegg was the junker guy who she was trying to sell stuff to, right?
Yeah. But the stormtroopers felt human, and they felt they at times felt like they were some of the funniest things in the show or in the movie. I thought they were fantastic. I wanted to learn more about their backstory in a lot of those ways, like, you know, do they, you know, like when Finn gears himself down, right, and walks through Jakku, right, and he's just dropping pieces of his stormtrooper kit behind him, I'm like, you're pretty much an Under Armour, right? Like, I was like, you're that stormtrooper Under Armour is what you're wearing around now, buddy. Like, what is up with that?
Yeah, it was, well, and it was interesting. I mean, I loved all the new characters. The only other character that I can think of is Snoke. and yep. well, I guess the First Order in general. I really liked Hux, General Hux. The scene mm-hmm. where he's giving his speech, and I don't know, like maybe I'm just remembering some other movie, but the general where he's giving his speech and he's just like freaking out, right, as he's yelling at the stormtroopers, was great. I really liked his character. And then with Snoke, the CGI on Snoke was a little bit like, I liked the reveal where it's like he's this huge guy, and I was like, oh my gosh, is he really this big? Like, what's going on? And then it turns out that he's like a hologram.
Yeah.
But and I really liked how they played with that. But he was an interesting, there's some speculation that he is, what was the guy's name? Darth Plagueis. Who is in the prequels, I think it's in Revenge of the Sith, Palpatine is talking to Anakin and he's like, there was a Sith who managed to manipulate the Force to keep people from dying. And oh, so, okay. And like, he kind of almost has this weird decaying face thing. I think it'd be cool if it ended up being him, like this super old Sith who never really died. That would be a cool way. Although at the same time, I think they're trying to distance themselves from the prequels. So,
mm-hmm. In relation to kind of like the dark side, there's a couple things that I thought was really neat. The Admiral, sorry, what was his name?
General Hux.
General Hux, you know, as they're talking to Snowden, he's got, oh my God, sorry, time starting to hurt my brain now. They're standing in the altar room, basically looking at the hologram, right? Kylo Ren's the left of them, and they're basically like bickering at each other like brothers and sisters, like brothers would, right? Like yeah. It's kind of like, no, this guy's a dick. Like this guy's pretty useless, right? Like, whereas opposed to if that was Darth Vader, it would've been like, and the hologram turns off, and you're force choked dead. Have a good day.
Yeah, whereas right?
Like
it almost
you could feel like there was a jockeying of positioning there, right?
It almost felt like by the end of it, like at the beginning of the movie. Your expectation is, no, Kylo Ren is in charge and General Hux does what he says. By the end of the movie, it's like you get the sense that Snoke has charged General Hux with babysitting duty.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like,
yeah, pretty much.
Go pick him up and bring him back. Like, come on. We'll go finish his training. Like, that's like, it was such a great turn there to get him to the point where it's like he was the babysitter.
Yeah,
he was a babysitter the whole time, and you know where he assumes that Rey has the plans and the map, and therefore doesn't need to do anything. Like he just screws that up, and he's just like, "Are you serious right now?" Like, yeah, that was great.
And then Hux just throws him under the bus.
Oh, he totally does. Yeah, and I liked that we had some characterization. That's the other thing too, is that all the villains are still there. Like none of the big villains died.
Yeah.
Right? Like the only person who died in this movie was Han Solo, and yeah. Everybody else was fine. And I love that. And speaking of the older characters, Han Solo was great. I've heard it said several times, like the best performance that Harrison Ford has given in like the past 10 years, at least, mm-hmm. Because he seemed like he actually cared about being there and was excited about about acting.
Well, I mean, the truth be told, he wanted Han Solo to die in Episode 5.
Right.
Right. And so I think he was pretty happy to be part of it as long as Han Solo did actually die.
Yeah. And man, Carrie Fisher was the one person who I liked her. Like I thought she did great, but she did not seem like Princess Leia at all.
No.
Like she seemed like she had been, like she had performed at an emo scream rock concert the night before. And it was just like, Han Solo, you know, like the, what's her name off of Monsters Incorporated.
Yeah.
like just the graveliest voice ever. But it was interesting. It was interesting enough. Like it, the purpose of these characters, I wonder how much Leia is going to be in Episode 8.
I would suspect probably around the same level as she was in this one. Yeah. And it's in relation to, when Luke comes back, there's some conversations about that, you know, some hugs, some, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of.
Yeah.
And ordering out the fights.
It would be interesting if she even had, just again, because of Kylo Ren, right? Like, mm-hmm. I would be interested in seeing more of that character, but I don't know. I wonder if Carrie Fisher is capable of delivering the performance that I want to see that character.
You know, probably
the development,
not.
The development that I want to see out of that character, I doubt it. So,
As I believe someone said in another one of those podcasts I was listening to about this was probably out of all the cast, the person with the best acting talent was actually Mark Hamill, who ironically said nothing.
Well, and not only that, but he, since Star Wars, especially in the last several years, has really kind of come into his own, like late in his career.
Yeah.
And we could see a really awesome Luke Skywalker in
episode 8. I kind of joked that the reason why he didn't say anything is they were worried that the Joker would come out.
Yeah, it's like, hello!
And half of the people I said that to were like, what are you talking about? I'm like, really? He's only been the Joker's voice for 25 years.
Yeah, he's like, he's, yeah, so I'm interested to see what he, what his role is moving forward. Like,
I love the fact that his hand was the robotic hand.
Yeah.
And weathered away.
And not just gloved.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually went to the time to do it. Now there's a lot of unanswered questions, like especially with like her vision. By the way, we haven't talked about Maz Kanata yet, which was one of my favorite characters in that movie.
Well, before we go there, another thing about one thing I was hoping it would happen at the very end when she met Luke was he would end up saying, "I am your father." Oh. You know, kind of go back to episode 5.
I wonder if there's going to be I think it's interesting. Mm. Like there is potential for that revelation type revelation in the next movie. I kind of hope they fight that urge because mm-hmm. it's going to get old fast if they do that, right? Like, by the way, Rey, I am your father, or you know. Like Kylo Ren is like, Rey, I am your cousin. You know what I mean? Like, that's
kind of how I feel about that. Like, yeah, I agree. If they do it, they need to do it right. And there's very few ways that can be done right.
I think maybe what we will probably get more revelation on her backstory in this next episode, though. Right? Like, that's the time to do it, is who are her parents? Yeah. But Maz Kanata, just the one thing I was going to say about her, like great CG, that whole scene, like basically the cantina scene, you know,
mm-hmm.
Really, really good scene. And, I want to go and see it again, specifically because of that scene where she touches the lightsaber. Like that is the kind of scene that I feel like I need to be able to freeze frame and go back several times to really see it.
It's really hard to hear, but all the voices you hear between each of the visions,
mm-hmm.
it's Obi-Wan, it's Yoda, it's young Anakin.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes with all of this. I really have, it's just so good. Anything else?
I loved BB-8.
Yes, BB-8.
And his thumbs up.
The thumbs up.
The thumbs up was awesome.
Yeah.
And the scene just went by so quick. You're like, what just happened? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff like that where you're like, wait, what? What's going on? Oh my gosh, that's hysterical. And then they would just keep going.
Yeah. So I think the biggest criticism that I've heard of the movie from people I've talked to is they're wondering, you know, how does someone who's never held a lightsaber in her life beat this guy? And I'm like, okay, I have a theory on that.
Well, there's a couple different things. First of all, Chewie shot him with his freaking bowcaster, which they established.
That's part of it.
They established seven times how powerful it was. Like,
yeah. I'm surprised Han gave that thing back twice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, first he was shot, you know, and he's, as I said before, he's had two masters and never finished his training either time. So he's still undisciplined.
Yeah.
And so, and he's a hothead, so he's not all there. Even when he's not angry, he's still not all there. And he was in a fight with Finn, and Finn got a good shot or two in on that too. So
yeah.
He is already in this fight injured and with a scattered mind. yeah, I think that's why he lost.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, by the way, Finn taking a freaking lightsaber straight up the spine.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, did they just kill him? But they didn't. He's fine. And
you pretty quickly understand why the lightsaber has that saber hilt.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, the lightsaber, his lightsaber was wicked too. Like, it's like that very chaotic sort of, it's interesting because it almost mirrors him, where on one side, it's that sort of ferocious. Sorry, what are you doing?
Your BB-8 keeps talking to you?
Yeah, it's got this thing where, if you say something and then you, like, for example, if you say, "It's a trap!" Now he's trying to run away. Yeah, sorry if you do that. Anyways, I lost my train of thought. Oh, what was I saying? Wow.
His lightsaber was chaotic.
Oh, yeah, his lightsaber was chaotic. So, like, again, like, it's almost, like, unleashed and, like, really terrifying sort of, you know, it's not that contained thing. I'm glad
they did something with that, you know, other than just, oh, look, I have a scary-looking saber. Yeah, with the two extra.
Well, and the sound was totally different too, right? Like, it was like, yeah, like, it had more oomph to it. But then it's almost like symbolic of Kylo Ren in general, where it's like, is it like he was trying to make a really bad A lightsaber, but like, is this thing like just short of exploding every time he turns it on? Like, is it too powerful? And like, you know, like, it's almost more than the lightsaber is designed to.
Maybe the crystal contain. Matches his brain.
Yeah,
not right? All like, there.
I don't know. So I really liked it. It was pretty cool. So where do you guys think we're gonna go from here?
I really hope episode 8 starts out with us continuing that pan circle shot of Ireland, or, you know, wherever Luke Skywalker is currently, and it like just loops back down, cuts right behind Rey's shoulder or Luke's shoulder, stops the camera there, and the dialogue continues as if we have not just wait 18 months for this conversation to occur. Yes. Like, I don't want to be like, you know, I don't want to be dropped in another situation somewhere. I want that story to literally start from that exact moment.
Yeah. I don't want it to be like, like all of a sudden open to some crazy, action scene where Rey and Luke are fighting side by side. Like, that's not what I want. Yeah. You know, like, there's, I want to have that character moment first. And maybe I don't even, that's the first moment I want them to have together.
Yeah.
I don't care if we have like some, you know, like maybe have Kylo Ren. What I really want is a flashback first. Maybe.
Mm.
I would love to see a flashback of this Jedi Academy. You know, like, mm-hmm. I never read any of like the expanded universe books, but I had a friend who did, and there was always this concept of a Jedi Academy, that was kind of this, you know, I don't want to use the word grassroots, but, you know, like this little group of almost like a family business, mm-hmm. of Jedi, like a Jedi Academy that way. I would love to see flashbacks of that or some sort of history, to fill in the gap there. We don't need a lot, and Star Wars, I don't think ever has done flashbacks like that, but in this case, I feel like it's appropriate. So I don't know. That's what I'd be interested in seeing too. But I agree that the first moment that we see between Rey and Luke should be right off the bat, right where we left off.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. And I was surprised that the next movie will be as fast as it is. I was half expecting it to be a 3-year gap, just like each of the previous trilogies. You've always said,
mm-hmm.
you know, 77, 80, 83, 99, 02, 05.
Yeah, well, they're going to be annualizing this thing pretty good.
Well, and like they're spacing them out. So it's like this year is episode 7. Then next year is Rogue One, which takes place between episodes 3 and 4. And then we have episode 8. And then some other weird standalone movie. I think it's either going to be like
it's Han Solo's story.
Han Solo or Boba Fett or something like that. Yeah. And then episode 9. You know what's interesting is Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Star Wars episode 8 come out 3 weeks apart.
Oh,
wow.
So like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I think, comes out on like the 28th or something like that.
We got the Disney money train.
Yeah, that is like a perfect, to me, like the perfect pairing of movies. Mm-hmm. Like you've got the space opera epic that is Star Wars, but then you've got the sort of hip, I don't want to say hip, but like the comic book version of that, right?
Yeah.
The more superhero style space movie as well. That's going to be a great pairing. So, yeah. I don't know. Anything else?
I think it's a good spot to wrap it up.
I think so. I'm going to find what should I wrap this up with? How about this?
Probably Star Wars music.
Yeah. How about this? The Ways of the Force. This is like the final lightsaber battle.
Do it.
I'll get that going here. Of course, if you guys want to contribute to the show, you can head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads. You can go to all our social media, look for Nintendo Dads. We're all over the freaking internet.
We are.
And so if you want to join us in all of this, let us know what you thought of the movie. And of course, join us for our regularly scheduled Nintendo goodness every single week. Thank you, everybody. And until next time, we will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
May the Force be with you. This isn't the podcast you're looking for.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.